1. It was the summer of 1840. Sun Yin was in his 22nd year, and he was in Frankfurt on his way home from Italy to Russia. He was a man of small property, but independent, almost without family ties. By the death of a distant relative, he had come into a few thousand roubles, and he had decided to spend this sum abroad before entering the service, before finally putting on the government yoke, without which he could not obtain a secure livelihood. Sun Yin had carried out this intention, and had fitted things in to such a nicety, that on the day of his arrival in Frankfurt, he had only just enough money left to take him back to Petersburg. In the year 1840 there were few railroads in existence. Tourists travelled by diligence. Sun Yin had taken a place in the Beiwagen, but the diligence did not start till 11 o'clock in the evening. There was a great deal of time to be got through before then. Fortunately, it was lovely weather, and Sun Yin, after dining at a hotel, famous in those days, the White Swan, set off to stroll about the town. He went in to look at Daneker's Ariadne, which he did not much care for, visited the house of Goethe, of whose works he had, however, only read Werther, and that in the French translation. He walked along the bank of the Main, and was bored, as a well-conducted tourist should be. At last, at 6 o'clock in the evening, tired and with dusty boots, he found himself in one of the least remarkable streets in Frankfurt. That street he was fated not to forget long, long after. On one of its few houses he saw a signboard. Giovanni Roselli, Italian confectionery, was announced upon it. Sun Yin went into it to get a glass of lemonade, but in the shop, where, behind a modest counter, on the shelves of a stained cupboard, recalling a chemist's shop, stood a few bottles with gold labels and as many glass jars of biscuits, chocolate cakes and sweetmeats, in this room there was not a soul. Only a grey cat blinked and purred, sharpening its claws on a tall wicker chair near the window, and a bright patch of colour was made in the evening sunlight by a big ball of red wool lying on the floor beside a carved wooden basket turned upside down. A confused noise was audible in the next room. Sun Yin stood a moment, and making the bell on the door ring its loudest, he called, raising his voice, "Is there no one here?" At that instant, the door from an inner room was thrown open, and Sun Yin was struck dumb with amazement. 2. A young girl of 19 ran impetuously into the shop, her dark curls hanging in disorder on her bare shoulders, her bare arms stretched out in front of her. Seeing Sun Yin, she rushed up to him at once, seized him by the hand and pulled him after her, saying in a breathless voice, "Quick, quick, here, save him!" Not through disinclination to obey, but simply from excess of amazement, Sun Yin did not at once follow the girl. He stood, as it were, rooted to the spot. He had never in his life seen such a beautiful creature. She turned towards him, and with such despair in her voice, in her eyes, in the gesture of her clenched hand, which was lifted with a spasmodic movement to her pale cheek, she articulated, "Come, come," that he at once darted after her to the open door. In the room into which he ran behind the girl, on an old-fashioned horsehair sofa, lay a boy of 14, white all over, white with a yellowish tinge like wax or old marble. He was strikingly like the girl, obviously her brother. His eyes were closed. A patch of shadow fell from his thick black hair on a forehead like stone and delicate, motionless eyebrows. Between the blue lips could be seen clenched teeth. He seemed not to be breathing. One arm hung down to the floor, the other he had tossed above his head. The boy was dressed, and his clothes were closely buttoned. A tight cravat was twisted round his neck. The girl rushed up to him with a wail of distress. "He is dead! He is dead!" she cried. "He was